Amen. I'm so glad you're here today. Welcome to Resurrection Sunday at Vertical Church Ovilla. This is the most holy and celebrated day of the year for the follower of Jesus. Today we celebrate his resurrection after he had become the payment for the sins of the world, after he had suffered at the hand of evil men, after he took upon himself the punishment that we deserved, after he died the death that we should have died for our sins. The demons laughed, the devil gloated, wicked men delighted, but on the third day, Mary and the other Mary went to the tomb to find the stone rolled away. And there they saw an angel sitting on the stone who said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." Amen? This is the reason for our hope and our faith today. And just as Resurrection Sunday is the most holy day of the year for us, the Old Testament had holy days that they celebrated as well. Today, we're going to take a look back at a moment from the Old Testament that was a prophetic picture of what we are celebrating today. Just as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, in the Old Testament, they celebrated the Day of Atonement. It was the most holy day of the year. It was a day and a time when all the nation of Israel would gather and they would pray and they would fast and they would repent of sins, because on this day, the high priest would enter behind the veil to offer atonement for the sins of the people, so that they could know they could have peace with God. You know, there's nothing more important in life than knowing you have peace with God, than knowing your sins are forgiven. You can chase a lot of things in this life. You can chase money, pleasure, power, people. You can chase all of it and still go to bed every night miserable because you carry in your conscience the weight of your sin. And there's nothing worse than that. This is why God provided a way in the Old Testament that would picture for them and for us what Jesus would accomplish in the new. And it all happened on this day of atonement. A 24-hour period of no work, a 24-hour period for the nation of Israel of repenting. You see, God had given a way for Moses to enter into a veil. The Bible, there's our squeaky pin. The Bible describes a tabernacle in the Old Testament. And at the front of this tabernacle, gold columns. And between these gold columns, a veil that separated what was sacred inside from what was kept outside. For inside dwelt the holy presence of God. And what was necessary was for the priest, the high priest, to enter in to the veil, to atone for the sins of the people. And he would enter into that space and offer there the blood that would atone for the sins of the people. You see, if their sins were not covered, if they didn't have the atonement happening, then there would be a lack of peace between them and God. They would not be secure that their enemies would not have victory over them. They would not know that they could move forward and know that God was with them. And so God gave them a way for the high priest to enter in on this day of atonement. And everything rested on this day on the shoulders of one man, the high priest himself. One man. There were many priests, but there was only one high priest. And he had the responsibility on this day of entering in to the veil. And a nation watched, 2 million watched, as he would perform his duties on this day. And what we see in the picture of the high priest is a picture of Jesus himself and the work that he would accomplish. And I believe in the picture here today, we are going to find even greater wonder at the resurrection of Jesus today. I love the fact that we see Jesus in the high priest of the Old Testament, and that the New Testament would tell us that he is our great high priest. So this is an easy matchup for us when we read the Bible. The high priest, a picture of our great high priest. So on this Day of Atonement, as the high priest himself alone would prepare to go in, the Bible says that before he could go in, he had to lay aside his outer garments of being a priest, which were very ornate. They were made of gold and silk and blue and crimson and purple and a hat with a banner that said, "Holiness to the Lord." This was the high priest's normal set of garments. But on this day, he was required to lay those aside and wear a very simple garment because he was about to enter in and perform the sacrifice. He was about to enter in and offer up blood for atonement. He would need to put on garments fit for sacrifice, garments fit for death. And so the Bible tells us, if we look forward to the New Testament, that Jesus did something very similar. Jesus lived his life, spotless Lamb of God, and as he approached the night before he would be arrested, on the night of his arrest, in fact, the Bible says that he gathered with his disciples, and there it tells us in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, and look, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. He took on the garments of a servant that night, and he began to serve the disciples and wash their feet. He went from what he normally wore to putting on the garments of a servant, the garments of sacrifice. So we see in the high priest, our great high priest. Now, what's interesting to me and fascinating as we look at the role of the high priest, he would have three responsibilities on this day. And they were significant in bringing atonement. In fact, he was to perform all of these according to the letter of the law. And if he did not, the cost would be death. In other words, they were concerned that he might enter in and might not come back out. That he might enter in and something had not gone like it was supposed to. Him not fulfilling his responsibilities or the sacrifice not accepted. And so it was with great concern, hesitation, waiting and watching that the people all gathered to see, would the high priest come back out alive? These three responsibilities today were this. The first was he was to present incense to the Lord that would be a pleasing aroma. It was part of the priest's function to enter in and offer up incense. But on this day, the high priest would do this task alone. He would take into the tabernacle a mixture of incense that God himself had defined. And it was a sweet incense. It wasn't pungent, it was sweet. God had given a very specific recipe, and the fire was to come from the altar where the sacrifices were made. So this high priest would take fire from the altar, and he would enter in with the incense. And with the veil closed, he would do the work behind the veil. No one would see him doing this work, but he would do this work. He would go in alone and offer up the sweet incense to the Lord. And the aroma would fill the place inside. And when anyone caught a whiff of the aroma, they knew the priest was at work. He was offering up incense to the Lord. Now, as I mentioned, the Bible tells us that Jesus came also in a high priest form. He came as the great high priest. And what I love is that every element we're going to see today in the high priest, we see that Jesus accomplished as our great high priest. Did you know that when Jesus died on the cross, that he was offering himself to the Lord as a sweet aroma? Look at this verse from the New Testament, from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. He said, "Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. God was delighted in the sacrifice of Jesus, atoning for our sins so that he might offer himself to the Father for us. And the Bible says that to God, that was a sweet smelling aroma. It was a delightful smell. And this is the aroma of heaven, the sacrifice of Jesus. And all those who have been in his presence carry that aroma. Aren't you glad to know that when you put your faith in Jesus, you no longer carry the aroma of guilt and sin and shame on your life, but you carry the aroma of Jesus on your life. Amen? So this was the first responsibility of the high priest, to offer up a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The second, however, was to atone for sin. The word atone means to cover. And so the high priest was to offer a covering for the sins of the people. And God gave a very specific way to do that. He said, I want you to get two goats and bring those goats to the door of the tabernacle. And I want you to cast lots for them, for one of them is going to give his life. And so they would draw lots, and one goat would be chosen, and that goat would then be slain. His blood poured out, and he would be offered on the altar. His body burned up to the Lord. And then the high priest had the responsibility of taking the blood from that goat and entering behind the veil a second time. And this time he would go in, and he would go all the way into the Holy of Holies. And there was the Ark of the Covenant, the space where God's glory dwelt and where God met with man and man met with God, but only this one time a year could he enter in. And it was with very stringent requirements. He had to bring the blood of the goat. He had to come fully prepared. He had to be righteous before God, and he would sprinkle the blood on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus became our sacrifice. Jesus became the atonement for our sin. Jesus became the high priest who entered in to heaven. He's the one who entered behind the veil to enter into heaven to atone for our sin. He became the spotless one who offered himself to the Lord. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come. He was more than just the picture of the tabernacle. He was fulfilling the picture of the tabernacle. And he would be the high priest of the good things to come, and with the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Verse 12, and with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all. Jesus entered in the veil of heaven to atone for your sin and my sin. And not with the blood of a goat or an ox, but with his own blood, the Lamb of God, perfect. And he entered in, and the priest would enter in and offer this blood. And then he would come back out because there was still another goat. And the other goat that was remaining, he would place his hands upon his head, and he would begin confessing the sins of the people upon this goat. And he would name the sins of the people. And it was a way of transferring the sin of the people to this one. He was bearing all of the guilt and the shame. Now, the first goat had given his life for the sins of the people. This one had a different function. He would bear the sins of the people, and the requirement of God was this. Now take this goat, take him outside the courtyard, and set him free into the wilderness. It was God's way of showing the people, your sin has been paid for, and now it has been removed from you. It is no longer here. And just as you see that goat going off in the wilderness, your sins have been removed from you. It was a visual to a nation. Our sins have been atoned for. One has given his life, and the second one now shows us he's been removed from us. I'm sure you're starting to put together some of the dots here. All the beautiful pictures given to us in this Old Testament day, the Day of Atonement. But there was a third time that the priest would go into the veil. A third time that the people would watch. He'd gone in and offered up the incense. He had gone in and offered up the blood. And now he would go behind the veil for a third time. This time he would go behind the veil for a new garment. He had worn the clothing of sacrifice. He had worn the clothing of death. He may have even had blood on his garment from the sacrifice of the goat. But now this third time he would enter in, and the Bible says that God said, I want you to go in this time and I want you to remove the garments of sacrifice and death. And I want you to put on a new garment. I want you to put on your royal priestly garment. I want you to put on the one that has the royal colors. I want you to put on the ones that carry the breastplate of jewels representing the nation and tribes of Israel. I want you to put on the garments that carry the banner holiness to the Lord. I want you to put on the garments that represent your authority as a high priest. I want you to put on the garments that represent there is peace with God. I want you to put on the garments of life. And when you have put those on, I want you to come back out of the veil. And so a nation waited. 2 million are waiting. They've watched the events of the day. They've watched him go in a first time to offer up incense. They've watched him go in a second time to offer up the blood. And they've watched him go in a third time to put on his new garments. And the nation waited, because there was still the possibility that it had not all been done correctly, that it hadn't been done according to God's standards, that it hadn't been holy or righteous to the Lord. And so they waited. Would it be enough? Had he performed his function as he was supposed to? Was the blood atoning for our sin? What was happening? And they waited. Now, what's fascinating to me about the high priest outfit is one of the things that was required is that along the bottom hem, along where it touched the ground, were sown pomegranates, not from the bush, but made of cloth, these little ball ornaments around it, and bells. And God said, I want you to put a bell, pomegranate, bell, pomegranate, bell, pomegranate, all the way around. And it was so that when everyone outside heard the bells, you knew the priest was on the inside doing his work. You knew as long as you heard the bells that the priest was still alive. But he had been silent for a while. He wasn't wearing the garments of authority. He was wearing the simple garments. And so it had been quiet. It had been still for the first time, and the second time, and the third time, until finally, listening close, you heard the bells begin to move. And you knew something was going on the inside. And pretty soon, the veil pulled back. And pretty soon, the high priest stepped out, and he was wearing his garments of authority, his garments of a living priest. And the people cheered and shouted, he's alive! Our high priest has come out from behind the veil! Are you putting it all together this morning? Jesus died and he wore upon himself our sin. He was clothed in our guilt and our shame. And he entered into the veil we call death. And he entered in there to offer himself up to the Lord as a pleasing aroma. He entered in there to offer up his blood to atone for our sin. He entered in there, and when he came out of that grave, 3 days later, he was wearing the garments of life, because our Savior was risen and victorious. Amen? Yes. And just as in Leviticus, they knew, on that day, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. we can know that because Jesus came back out of the grave, our sins have been atoned for. There is peace with God. You can know his power in your life. The resurrection is our visible living proof that Jesus has accomplished the work of the high priest. Amen? Now, the Bible says that for all who will believe, that we can receive this grace and this power. In fact, this is actually God's will. The Bible tells us this in John 6:40. This is the will of him who sent me, Jesus said, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Believe. It's one of those words here in the South and here in America in the 21st century. When we hear believe, we think I give mental agreement to. In other words, you say, many people will say, I believe there is a God. I believe Jesus existed. I believe that he died for sin. I believe that he rose again on the third day. But listen to me. Everything I just said, the demons believe the exact same thing. Demons believe there is a God. Demons believe and know there is a Son of God. Demons believe that Jesus died for sin. Demons believe that Jesus rose again on the third day. It is not enough to just give mental agreement to. Demons believe that and they tremble at the fact of that. So what does Jesus mean that all who believe in him will have this kind of eternal life? He doesn't mean just give agreement to. What believe means is I agree and I believe it happened and it was for me. Demons don't believe it was for them. The devil doesn't believe it was for him. But for every soul who will say that cross was meant for me, that death was meant for me, I should have died that death. I deserve that punishment. For all who will believe that he loves you, died for you, and that he rose and came out from behind the veil of death for you, that person will be saved. Now, you see this giant cross over here this morning. I don't know if you've looked at it up close, but on this cross are the names of some 800 people. They are our own members who have said they were going to be here today. And they have also the names of people that we have been praying for. Anybody who invited anybody, their names are on this cross. And it's a way of showing the importance of believing this was for me. This should have been me. But he did this for me. And I will believe this for me. Because the one who does, they will find new life. They will find power. And just as the nation of Israel shouted at the celebration that the high priest had atoned for their sin, you and I live in shout of the celebration that Jesus has atoned for sin. And we now live to live for him. It's the greatest proof that you believe this, that you live for him. Perhaps most stunning to me is that not only did the high priest do this, not only did Jesus do this, but for everyone who would believe, listen to me, for every one of us who believe that this was for me, the Bible says that Jesus makes you now a pleasing aroma in heaven. 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ. God takes in the aroma of your life and he's not repulsed by it. He's delighted in it because you have believed this was for you. You have had your sin atoned for. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You don't have to live in the guilt and the shame and the replay anymore. But then I also love the fact that we are clothed with new garments. When we have believed, then the prophetic word of Isaiah 61 becomes true for us. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Now, none of us in this room would say we deserve that, have earned that, or should have that. But this is the grace of Jesus that makes you a sweet aroma, sin atoned for, covered in a robe of righteousness. Aren't you grateful for our great high priest this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we are in awe of what you have done. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for that while we were still sinners, while we were undeserving, you sent your son to take upon himself our sin, to be the sacrifice, but to be our great high priest, the one who's entered behind the veil. So Father, this morning we rejoice. We rejoice that our great high priest is alive today. He is proof that we have now peace with you, that we can walk and are a delight to you, that we can walk and now put on even the robe of righteousness. And I pray we would walk away from this day with even greater passion, greater desire, greater motivation to live out what you have done in us. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 What a good and great high priest we have. Amen. Amen. Let's give him some worship this morning. Amen. I'm so glad you're here today. I hope the rest of this day and this week is different for you because you are here today. Why don't you stand with me as we're dismissed? We do that here by saying something that we all live out. And it is this. I'm going to say lift him up and you say live him out. Because this is who we are as Jesus followers. Amen. Yes. Let's do this. Lift him up and
live him out.
Amen. We'll see y'all next week.